Dr. Hill on December 12, 1989 at his pharmacy on North 1st and Walnut Street. Dr. Hill, what is your full name?
Harold E. Hill.
Harold E. Hill. And when were you born in year?
1907.
1907. And your parents? Who were your parents?
David R. Hill and Mattie Eugenia Seabrook. My mother was named Seabrook, her maiden name was Seabrook.
And do you remember your grandparents?
No, I don't. I remember my grandmother on my father's side. Her name was Min Simons.
Min Simon?
Yeah.
And what do you remember about her? Anything?
She was very, she lived till she was 104 years old. And she was a very attractive brown woman. White hair. Solid white hair with hair. Everybody admired her. Her hair would just look like cotton.
104.
She was 104 when she died.
My goodness.
Because I was in med school when she died.
In Mexico?
No, I said in med school.
Oh, med school. Okay.
Yeah. When she died, yeah.
That's interesting.
She lived in Charleston all her life.
Charleston?
Yeah.
Did your family own their own home?
Yes, always have.
Always have. And do you remember anything about any of your older relatives or?
Nothing but an old aunt that reared my mother. She lived a long time too, but I don't remember her age when she died. She must have been in the 80s.
You ever hear them talk about the times when they were younger or the things
not
that were going
much,
on?
Not too much.
Oh, really?
No, I don't remember them talking. I mean, that's the only my grandmother on my father's side that lived to 104. She never mentioned much about her younger days. She was kind of lay speaker. Like, she went around from church to church and not preaching but speaking. She was kind of what you'd call a missionary back then.
Okay.
In the African Methodist Episcopal Church.
Okay. So it sounds like you were from, your background is very educated. Educated people.
Yeah, my daddy and mother. My mother was one of the first graduates of Allen University. I don't remember the exact class, but it's way back then. Before the 1900s.
Before the 1900s.
Ooh, she must have graduated in 1897 or something.
This was also in Charleston.
Yeah. Her aunt read her, and her aunt's husband was a Methodist preacher.
Well, that seems so. For that
well,
time,
I,
it was
I
so.
Well, I mean, believe my mother, and there was a lady, and I can't remember her name now, but she was lived in Pendleton. Her daughter married, was working at South Carolina State back here years ago, and they also ran a electrical supply company in Orangeburg. Her mother and my mother was at Allen together. That's the only person I know of Allen. But back then, those days, I mean, they stressed reading and handwriting. My mother and father had beautiful handwriting. I don't have it, but I didn't inherit it. But my mother used to practice all the time, just like that, by making those, which they don't teach you now, but I mean, grammar and writing.
Were the two most important?
Most important things back then.
Oh, really? How about slavery? Did you ever hear of anything, anything like that?
I don't know anything about slavery.
That's great, then.
My mother or father, I don't know if any of their folks were in slavery that I knew of.
That's interesting. And your wife, is your wife from Seneca?
No, my wife is from Augusta, Georgia. Rather from Columbia County, out from Augusta. Her father was a farmer and teacher. He was one of the first graduates of Payne College way back in the day.
That's wonderful. It really is. And you said he was a farmer also?
Who? He farmed, yeah. His father was a farmer. He had a big farm, and he went to school, and he taught all his life. But he farmed and taught. He lived on it. He inherited the place, about 300 acres of land. And they still own 84 acres of it now. But the other government took the Clarksville Reservoir.
So they never had to share crop or
they never had to share crop.
Oh, that is wonderful.
He always had croppers living on his place. Ever since I came tonight, he had two or three families living on it.
Do you have any brothers or sisters?
Yeah, I have one brother. He's in Charleston.
In Charleston.
I have four sisters. My mother and father had six children, all of them still live.
That's great.
And I ain't the youngest one, I ain't the oldest one.
And how old are you, Dr. Young?
82 years.
You're 82.
82.
You're
82. Born
1907.
1907? We 83 in July, next July.
Oh, I can't believe it.
Nobody believes
it. I mean, because you don't look it. I mean, around so well.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful. During that time, were there many jobs open to the black?
No, very few jobs open to black. I mean, back there in that time, I mean, black that aspired to be anything either was a teacher, a preacher, or a doctor. Now, you had a lot more doctors, black doctors back there than you either have now. Some of the little towns where I was born, going to Lincoln, but probably just a mile and a half out or something, had a black doctor back there. I was delivered by a black doctor back there, like you said. All my sisters and brothers, he delivered all of them.
1907.
His name was Dr. Austin. The school there until they integrated was named, black school was named Austin High School.
Named after him, of course.
Yeah. Okay. He had a daughter, one daughter. She taught at State for years. She went up to Radcliffe when she finished high school. That's the exclusive school up in Massachusetts. You've heard of Radcliffe,
yes. Yeah, sure.
She graduated from Radcliffe, and then I think she got a master's. She taught at State for years.
Ooh, wow. I wasn't aware that there were so many professional blacks during
there weren't that many, the only thing back then was open for you had to be a preacher, teacher,
or a doctor.
I'm pharmacy, medicine, or dentistry.
Would that also be for black women too, or?
Well, black women mostly. The only thing I knew they did back there was teach school.
Teach school.
You had a lot of black women taught school. I don't know any other field they were in. Not like now, you got lawyers, doctors, everything. The women everything is open to the women now.
Yeah, that's true. That is
just like me.
And as far as like the shopping facilities for blacks, since it was Saturday.
In a few areas, blacks had business. Blacks had business. Now, in certain towns, certain areas now, even back then when I was a little bitty boy, we had a black dry goods store somewhere. Clothing store.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. And did most of them then buy with cash, or did they use credit?
Both. Cash and credit.
Both?
Yeah. When I came up in this section, farming was the only thing, and a lot of folks bought on credit all the year till it made the crop forward again, and they tried to pay up the debts.
Mm-hmm. Did a lot of people make their clothes then?
Well, quite a few made their clothes. Okay. My mother made all our clothes, everything.
Did she? How about furniture and things like that?
My family, we had all just lovely, but I mean, not the modern things like refrigerators and everything. Yeah. We had ice boxes back then. We had ice box and only things that the modern appliances now, which we don't have. We didn't have electric lights back then. We had to have lamps and lanterns, you know. Didn't use candles, but they used lamps.
So for a black family, though, your family was probably pretty well off.
My family was average. My father taught school all his life. But the salary there wasn't anything. I can remember when he taught school, $18 a month.
$18 a month.
And Ryan's just about 6 months. That's all the money he made. Okay. But, he was a hustler. He would sell pictures and anything on the side you can make money on. Back then, you had quite a few black doctors because I lived in Charleston all my life. I guess 10, 15 black doctors there. They made money, people. As such as it was back then, nothing like it is now. And I came to Seneca, Dr. Shaw, was up then. He didn't charge, but house call was $1.50 for an office visit.
Really?
50 cents for an office visit.
Well, back then, was that a lot, though?
Oh, that's good money. That's good money.
That was good money.
He had, at one time, wealthy, I guess you'd call him. Mm. But that was good money. I can see the time back there, years ago, when he was here, he was going back up in this section of the country. Beside Anderson, Greenville. But you see 50 people to 100 people almost a day.
Oh, wow. So I imagine that was quite a...
Oh, yeah.
Quite a bit.
I think he was getting $1 for office visit thing. $2 for coal. But now he charged, if he had to go out in the country down in the out of town, he charged 50 cents a mile.
50 cents a mile?
Mile.
Oh, okay.
If he had to go 7 miles out of town, he'd have to pay him $3 and a half.
Well, I guess that was really expensive then.
Oh, well, he went all up in the mountains. He had almost 95% white practice.
Really?
Just like all of us right here. We've always had that. My business, 95% white. Still got it.
Well, when you first moved here, and I would assume that the relationship between the blacks and whites were a lot, it's a lot different.
It was no different, except, Dr. Sharp was considered a very smart doctor. Whites just went to him because he knew what he was doing.
So you're saying it's still the same. If you're good, you're... It doesn't matter. Color doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. Not in the medical profession around here. Dr. Martin, right down here, dentist, you were down here. Nothing but white all day long. We have two black doctors here. Mm-hmm. Battle brother, Dr. Charles Battle, Dr. Earl Battle. You go over there and they crowded.
That's true.
You been over there?
Yes. I have.
There's nothing but white though.
That's true.
Huh. That relationship has been built up around here for years. Dr. Sharp built it up way back then during the First World War when the flu was raging. He had a reputation of being able to kill. old flute when nobody else flutes.
Oh, that's
he just built up a white practice. It was tremendous.
Hmm.
We were up there, there ain't a little building right up there beside this big building to the left.
To the left by the post office.
Huh?
By the post office?
No, right there. See, you see this big building? See where the lights are?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you see right next there is a little bit building, two windows.
Okay,
two,
I see it.
You can't see it from here?
I can see it.
Well, that's where it is. I had the drugstore downstairs. Dr. Thomas Dennis was on the front. Dr. Sharp was on the back upstairs.
Oh. So it was just like they could just come right there and get any type of...
service they want.
Oh, that was great, man. That was great.
Well, we still had that here until Dr. Battle moved over there. You had two dentists down here, two doctors, and the drugstore right here. That's all used to be here. The three of us.
Hmm.
But, I mean, there were two dentists, always two dentists down there, two physicians.
It's just so hard for me to see that for some
well,
reason.
I don't know. And well, you see, Dr. Battle came in. He was very well trained.
Yeah.
He did a complete residency in internal medicine. I think he had superior training. Well, I mean, to most of the white doctors.
Mm-hmm.
It has been the custom here that they don't mind going to the black doctors for students, that's all.
That's great. How about the older, like the people in this community from which you can remember, were there like a lot of musicians and singers and things like
well, yeah, like you had some.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not prominent, I mean... I don't know. We haven't had anybody too prominent in music that I know of from around here. But this town has produced more professional athletes than any other town I know of.
Yeah, that is true.
Eddie Cunningham, Willie Eakin, Merrill Cole. I mean, they went pro and did well.
That's true. That is.
And the small, this town isn't but 7,000 people. When you got places like Columbia may not have it no more.
Then Seneca.
Yes. So you've had you, and I led to junior college, Stanford Junior College. When I came here, this was Seneca Junior College was operating under the Baptist Association. And kids from all the way, and that's the only place you could go to school was Radio Pierce.
Where,
from Belton, Anderson, Greenville, everywhere. We had a junior college. There wasn't another junior college anywhere in this section.
Do you think...
And the inspiration was that... the older group when I came here weren't highly educated, but you had a few of them that were college graduates that went down back to the day. I can remember 40 years ago when I would get calls... In the fall of the year when school opened, I'd get called all over the section asking me where can you find a teacher. And we had them right here. I almost could supply them every time they go. Because what? You had junior college here and all these poor farmers in the country sent their kids right. Because that was the only salvation if you're not educated, you just... That's I got true. An article back there, like for you to read sometime about my daughter when you get a chance.
Do you think that the people then, or the older people, were more interested in education than they are now? How do you perceive the younger generation?
I think so because. Back then, the average black couldn't get any job. They couldn't work in the mills. The mills were completely disabled. That was a law.
Okay.
Therefore, whites worked in the mills. Oh, we had all these mills around here, but blacks couldn't work in them. So what? the blacks that had any inspiration whatsoever, they tried to go on to school. I can remember right from this time when it'd be 30 to 40 kids in Benedict from Seneca. See, Dr. Starks came here as a young man. And he, all the, I mean, he was the founder of Seneca Junior College. Well, Dr. Starks used to be president. Outstanding president of Benedict College for years.
I didn't know. I had no idea.
Now, he didn't, this wasn't his home. He came in here from down, well, he was from down somewhere around 96 or somewhere down in here. And he came here and founded Seneca Institute.
Why do you think Seneca? What drew the people to this area? Was it because they had a large black community?
You didn't have many blacks up in the section there. And blacks have never been a problem in this section because this is, this county has the smallest black population of any county in South Carolina. So therefore, when integration came about in the schools, there was no problem here. If you integrated the schools immediately, you wouldn't have 10 students in any one class, black students in any one class, and still don't have 10 black students in any one class. Maybe a little bit more than that, because Seneca High School graduated about approximately 300 some odd students, Seneca High. And you won't find 20 to 30 blacks in the senior class. So blacks were never a problem.
Uh-huh.
And then the thing about it is, you see, when I came in 36, Anderson County, Pickens County, and all those counties had radical, what you call hard-nosed whites. I mean, they were racist born. Well, anybody that had any tried to do anything, they moved out of there and came to Oconee County because they could buy property, they could find their own land.
So
quite a few of them were left because of economic condition and being suppressed by them. You take down in Anderson County, used to have these, I don't want to do it with this, have all these places where they have these pineal farms, in Pickens County. Them Long brothers over there, they had farms with 75, 100 blacks, and they were just like the one when they were in slavery. That's true.
And Oconee was the only county that allowed?
Well, I wouldn't say the only county allowed, but they could get
it was easier.
Get better treatment.
Oh.
90% of the families in here now originated from Anderson, Chicken, Lawrence, Newberry, and all those counties that moved up there. Because they could, somehow they had a little better opportunity.
Better.
Not good, no good opportunity, but a little better.
It was better.
And then the thing about it with Seneca Junior College, there was older folk organized Seneca, and they tried to support it. They would sacrifice time to support it and send their kids this. I know families right here that had eight or nine kids. I can know there's four boys, 1, 2, 3, 4. Five boys and must be five girls. And every one of them called it a
That's really wonderful, especially for the time. It's just...
Oh, yeah.
The
youngest one of them, I guess, 50 years old. And every one of them called it a baby. All of them either finished South Carolina State, Benedict, or Claflin, or Allen. And there were nine in there. Four of them, three girls, four girls now, and all of them taught the school with teachers. And all the boys, they were the boys that live now in Washington, and one of them one of the vice presidents of North Carolina Mutual Insurance.
Really?
Yeah. One of the vice presidents of North Carolina Mutual Insurance. And born and raised in the country right up here around there. Hmm. The boy who was dean of the veterinary school at Tuskegee got his PhD in he's from right up here around Westminster. And we got at least, I can name at least four or five or six young PhDs from around Westminster. And we had, let's see, June, Harold Ogilvie, Frank Ennis. And I know at least seven from right around here in this town are either MDs or DDS.
That's wonderful.
They got the young fellow right from here. I was at the school. He's chief of oral surgery at Einstein Medical School and Lincoln Hospital in New York City. I can show you the articles on. I got articles back there. He's a young boy. He's 40 some odd years old. But he's the top oral surgeon in New York City. Chief of oral surgery. And he said, believe it or not, he has at least 25 to 30 residents under him now, and every one of them white. He said he never been able to get a black, friend of black. I got a daughter, same thing. She says she hasn't trained, she's an MD too. And she's dean of admissions. University of California Medical School. She said, "Who could come to school?"
What do you think?
As an inspiration of Santa Cruz Junior College to back it off. Well, it was with me because my family was educated. We always. But the thing about it is those kids, what you were talking about, Harold Oglesby and Frank Amos and June Riley and all those, they got the inspiration from seeing what the black doctors and stuff were doing.
And now what's the problem? There's no...
They tell me, I don't know, I'm not tied up with it like I used to be. Because I was very much tied up with the education around you. Years ago, when we were segregated, I was chairman of the advisory trustee board at that time for years. But the trouble is now, is what from what I can understand, we still got girls doing it, but look like the boys get it. From what they tell me, I don't know. I don't come in contact like I used to. Because I took an interest in the town and everything was going on. I used to be a certified official. Well, I was a certified official before I came here. And it was a Southeastern Conference, and I came here and I joined us. I used to officiate all over the sport. Basketball and football. I did umpire no baseball. Basketball and football. They called me from here to handle the Georgia State basketball team in Athens.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Well, I think it's the example that's been set.
Is it?
And anybody wanted to do anything, they say, they get the inspiration that they can do something because they've seen something with other black people.
That's true. Do you remember any, your parents or older people than you speak of?
I know more about older people around here than I do about my parents and stuff.
Oh, okay. Well, that's great, too.
I left home in 1925, and I finished high school in 1925, finished everything. And I haven't spent a month back there at a time since then. Well, I had to get out and hustle to go.
Yeah, that's true.
So after I finished high school, I went to EU, undergraduate school, then went from Harrah and pharmacy. And I just had to, I go to school all the year till the school closed. Then I went to New York every summer. I had a job. I worked on
hustle
airline for 7 years. Made good money, too. Made enough money to send myself to school.
So you did send yourself to school?
Oh, yeah, I sent myself to school.
Was there, now they have money.
Kid couldn't send himself to school now as the expenses of what it is. But I won some. I made over $500. They saved over $500 in New York working on the hustle. And then the tuition at Harrah wasn't but $180 a year. Back then.
$180?
A year. $100 the first semester and $80. But now that ain't room and board now. You got to see how my house doesn't have any dormitories or anything like that. You got to find a place to stay in. You rented places. You got own cooking, feeding, and everything.
How about hard times?